Well, let's get back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Everyone, therefore, acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven. You don't misread that. It could sound like, if you deny me, I'll deny you. The only person in the whole of Matthew's Gospel who denies Jesus, exactly the same word is used, is there in chapter 26, and it's Peter. Peter remembered what Jesus had said, before the cock crows you will deny me three times, and that means persistently. So let's look at Peter. Did Jesus deny Peter when Peter denied Jesus? No. He looks across the courtyard, Peter weeps, he comes and says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter becomes the leader of the disciples, and he's Saint Peter now, if you haven't heard of him. But we are saying, if you and I persist in denying we know Jesus, Jesus will have to say, I don't know you. Because he doesn't. And that's the fact, the truth. God can't pretend anymore. Well, God can't pretend. So if I am obdurately against God, it will be seen that I am and declared that I am. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. But God cannot be deceived. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth, says Jesus. This is the mission still. I've come to bring not peace, but a sword. Well, this is dramatic, because we've already heard about peace, and he said, when you go around, bring peace. So Jesus isn't contradicting himself, obviously. You've got to think, haven't you? Laterally, you've got to think imaginatively. So he's saying, the peace that I'm bringing isn't a everything's okay. What Jesus is bringing is going to cut right into me and cut me right down the middle, and I'll have to choose. And you, and marriages, and families, and societies, it's going to penetrate right in. It's going to cut right through to the core. Here we've got some texts, Revelations. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. It's a word that cuts, divides, chooses, demands choice. His face was like the sun shining in full force. Ephesians, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. So the word that we speak will divide. It's not, doesn't matter what you say, make it equally nothing. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. He is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, penetrate to the truth of who we are. Before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. They're words outside Matthew. Let's continue with Matthew. Jesus, I've come to bring a sword. For what? I have come to set a man against his father. I've come to set a daughter against her mother. I've come to set a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Family relationships, beautifully sacred as we know them all to be, are not the bottom line in Christianity. And sometimes choices have to be made for truth that separate us from husband or wife or mother or father or child. And if I only love my mother and my brothers and sisters, if I love them first, if I put them first, I won't be loving them. They'll have to know that I'm loving God first, and that isn't God or wife. They're not the two different categories. It's only if I love God will I love you. Only if I love God in you will I love you at the sacred level of who you really are, with respect and prayer and reverence. If I love you without loving God, I'm not actually loving you, because you are made in the image of God. It's only in a genuinely love-based based religious attitude that I will even see you. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Here it is. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We would phrase it, I think, unless we seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, then nothing else is really love. And the heavy, beautiful pull of family relationships, if they're so tight, they become absolute, we're trapped, aren't we? And you can be trapped in a family. No room to move, no room to grow, no room to love, no room to dare. But you beautiful parents, please God, have trained your children that you love them and you want them to dare and you want them to fly and you want them to grow and all the rest of it. Matthew continues, or Jesus continues his sermon on missionary life. Whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. This great paradox, which I haven't time to spend now, we'll do it later. Those who find their life will lose it. If you've found your life and you've got it, and it's in the bank, or in the back room, or in your wallet, or you've got it, well, it ain't life. If a bird has life or flight in the nest, well, it's going to die of something. You only fly by flying, don't you? Our life is our longing, our life is our growing, our life is our yearning, our life is our journeying. So if you find it, well, you lost it. If you lose your life for my sake, or rather because of me, if you walk with me, says Jesus to the disciples, I'm going to actually lose my life in this. And if you lose your life too, okay, don't worry, you'll find it. You'll find it with me and in your love, even on a cross, you'll find it. So come with me, love with me, journey with me, mission with me. Don't be afraid of risking all for me. And then he speaks to those who welcome the missionaries. Those in the world, those everywhere who welcome Peter and Andrew and James and John and Philip. And he says, look, if you welcome, he who welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet, equals in Greek, whoever welcomes a prophet because that person is a prophet, as a prophet, will receive a prophet's rewards. A prophet is someone who speaks God's word. So if you listen to God's word and accept it from this person who is speaking to you from God, then you will share in the life of the prophet. Whoever welcomes a righteous person, a person who does God's will, in the name of a righteous person, idiomatic for, if you receive a just person because they are just, because they're doing God's will, then you'll be part of their reward. You will share the life and reward of this just person. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, one of these humble, poor people who come as a disciple and apostle of Jesus, little ones like Jesus, little ones like Peter, Andrew, James and John, little ones, please God, like you and me. If someone welcomes you with a cup of water, they will not lose their reward. Because you are welcoming Jesus, you're welcoming God, and that will be the grace of God, will be the gift that you receive when you give a cup of water to a missionary who needs a place to settle and be helped. This one, the conclusion of this second sermon is, now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in the cities. It doesn't say they went on, they were with him, but he went on. The focus comes right back to Jesus, and he's the missionary we're watching.